King Wall's Court, Episode 10, Inbound. Yeah, welcome back to King Wall's Court, Episode 10, Inbound. And we have a very special guest tonight, which I'm very happy to invite onto King Wall's Court, even though he's a filthy Mank fan.
Yeah.
For sure. What can we do about that? You can't do anything about that.
Yeah, we are.
Most of you would know him as H from Dublin Metal Events. So it's Fergal Holmes. Thank you very much for coming to the King Wall's Court this evening.
No problem. You're welcome.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, all things considered. Strange times, but it's strange for everyone. So,
it's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean,
can't complain too much.
I really wanted to see what you thought of all this COVID, as in explain to people how hard it's been trying to get gigs, reschedule and all that kind of stuff. I'd say it's a pain in the hole.
It's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah,
it's only getting worse because as more and more stuff pushes back, trying to get dates in venues, because we don't have many venues in Dublin or Belfast or wherever I'm looking at doing the shows. And you now got stuff from, I'm losing track of the years, now got stuff from 2020 that had originally pushed back into maybe early-ish this year.
Yeah.
It's now looking to push back either late this year or into 22. You got stuff that was originally for this year looking to go back into 22. Then you've got new tours that are planning for 22 or whatever. So as you can imagine, trying to get available dates in venues.
Yeah.
And you can't just get onto a venue and say, tell me which date you have available, because obviously all the shows I do are parts of, big tours.
Yeah.
So the agents have to route the tour in a certain, a way that makes sense geographically. So I can't go back and just say, well, no, I don't have the 5th of September, but we can do the 14th. So that's, it doesn't work that way.
Not like a local show, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, in that respect, it's a nightmare. But
yeah, I can only imagine. Like, it's hard enough for bands not playing gigs. But as I say, it's a bit different trying to reschedule things. I think it has fucked.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. But hang in there, because eventually they're going to come back.
Yes.
Nothing lasts forever.
Absolutely.
Some days I feel like it's never going to end and just, throwing the towel in. But, that's obviously short-lived.
I can't wait for those, those messages people always put was like, oh, my wallet is empty all the time now with all these gigs coming up. That's when it'll be back to normal,
Well, I'm expecting every single show to be sold out when they come
good.
Back. Where there'll be good questions asked,
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun times when we can all get back to normal, I suppose you could say, it'll be very interesting to see people out again and having fun at gigs and shit.
So it's going to take getting used to it again.
Yeah, we'd be well able for it.
Yeah, listen.
What do you think of the football the way it is at the minute? I won't slag you around, don't worry.
To be honest, I'm just glad to have it. Because the first lockdown last year, I think they'd stopped the football too. I mean, Jesus, there's nothing else to do, at least having the football to watch.
But you know what? I actually prefer, I'm becoming a bit more weirder over the last year. I prefer the games without the piped in crowd for some reason.
I can't watch it without the noise.
No.
I have to have the crowd noise. I just find it so weird.
It's weird, bro.
I know the piped in noise is so unnatural at times.
Yeah.
I have to have it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always choose that option when I can, yeah. But yeah, listen, I never took United being top of the league seriously. It was fun, but I never actually.
I think City are hitting their fucking form now, aren't they? They're unreal.
Yeah, even back at that time, Liverpool hadn't faltered to the extent that they have now.
Mm.
I never took United being in the title race seriously. I mean, it was fun to be top, but
yeah. Would you, do you think you still get top four though?
I think it's in the air. I think there's a massive battle for every other club apart from City.
Yeah, yeah, which makes it interesting as well.
Like, the only thing that is interesting, because City are going to streak away with the title, and the bottom three is as good as sorted, you'd say.
Yeah.
So I think it's ending up like that nearly every season there with the top four battle, because last season Liverpool ran away with it. I can't even remember the one before that. Well, no, that was tight between Liverpool and City.
It was, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's generally the top four is the most interesting thing lately.
Yeah. And yeah,
I'm just glad to. It's something to watch, isn't it, these
days? Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting to see Liverpool play in Europa League if they do, if they even get to that.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemies. Back in that
impression. Yeah, been there, done that, both of us.
Yeah, I know.
So we're talking about, as I said, DME, and I think everybody, as you know, is very appreciative of all the work you've done over the years. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And all the support you've given all of us bands as well. I just wanted to say that, get that out of the way. Thanks very much. And I'm sure you say it for every single band that's played for you. Yeah,
no problem.
You know, it's very much appreciated.
Always nice to be able to put local bands on, you know, bigger shows when possible. Not always possible, of course.
No.
Not a lot of them as full packages, but
of course,
when it's possible, it's cool.
And you do, and I have to say you do, and I can back that up 110%, you know. Yeah. But you didn't always start off as DME. It was Emerald, wasn't it, first?
Yeah, at the very beginning.
Give us a little brief history on that, if you don't mind.
That was like back in 99.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was Paul Kearns and Ado used to be Morning Beloved.
Yeah.
They started it. I think they did Cathedral, maybe an Eamon Dorans.
Oh, cool.
And then I think I helped. I was like helper dog for like Anathema and Dorans, maybe.
Deadly.
And a couple of shows after that. And kind of became part of it then. Year wise, I get blurry after that because I'm terrible for remembering exact years, but Ado just kind of drifted away from it. And I mean, he ended up going away to live in Spain anyway.
Right.
And then Paul moved away to Norway. And so it was kind of left with me, so to speak. And then I can't remember, I think the first show I did on my own, if I remember, it was Niall in Whelan's.
Oh, cool.
So somebody who's watching can probably figure
out. They'll corroborate it, yeah. Yeah.
It was Niall, maybe Ducent that's supporting them. Chances are, because they seemed to support everyone back then.
Yeah, Ducent, yeah, geez.
Yeah.
How did you find that show? Can you remember how it went? Was it good? Or
fine, yeah. Yeah, no, it was fine. I mean, look, it's like everything. Looking back at shows from that far back, if I think about how some things were done, I'm like, oh my God, you know. You know, that's like everything. You're constantly learning, you know. There's there's things I've probably done at shows even 3 or 4 years ago that I look back and think, oh, I do that very differently now, you know.
Yeah.
You learn as you're going along and as you're dealing with bigger bands and stuff, and you never really stop learning like everything.
Yeah.
If you want to get better, you know, which I always do. I've always prided myself on doing the absolute best. I think that's why even back then, maybe got away with some things not being ideal with the tour managers or whatever, because they always could see that it was being done from the heart and
yeah.
It was genuinely was doing my best, even if it maybe wasn't perfect.
Yeah. Well, it's like you say, I mean, it comes with experience and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. But, so that was the formation of it, I guess. It started like anyone really, because back then nobody was playing here, so it was just a few pissed off fans just trying to get a few shows. And
yeah,
like the big break was getting the Morbid Angel one on the Formulas tour, and that was 99. Yeah,
savage.
Because that was like obviously a whoa.
Mm.
Yeah, and it just went from there. And obviously it changed name then, because when I took it over then, and you know, it was just me or whatever, it was never really registered as a proper business or anything up to that point, because it was, you know, it was a casual kind of thing. But
yeah,
things were starting to grow, and it was Dublin Metal Events then was the name. But I then got rid of that a few years later too. I never really liked that name, and not to diss metal, because Jesus, I'm still as big a metal fan as I was when I was 14. It's not about that, but the name was somewhat limiting, because even though I know, I mean, you called it Double Metal Events at the very beginning, some people will say that, but with agents and what have you, because the company was growing and it was trying to expand, it's not like it was going into pop music, but you know, you can see over the years that it did diversify a bit. It's not why it moved out of just being maybe underground extreme stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
So the name was a little bit limiting. So, but I wanted to still keep the identity too. So just DME Promotions is what the company is actually got. Everyone calls it DME, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that was where the kind of, it's been that for years now. So there was just little stages kind of in the formative years, really, you know. But yeah, it just went through like that. And I mean, back then, obviously, I was working a full-time job for years. At the same time, I used to work in IT. And I, up until, it's the guts of 10 years now that I'm doing it full-time. It just worked out well, because it was getting too much to combine with a full-time job. And my performance in the job was gone down the swanny, because of course DME was all I wanted to do, really. And then the chance of redundancies and stuff came up in there at the time, so it was perfect, because one, it solved the problem, and two, getting redundancy made jumping from a pretty well-paid IT job, you know, nice safe existence, going to working for yourself, promoting, well, metal shows, 99.9%, it's a risk.
Of course, yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's a risk I could have taken without that safety net of the redundancy at the time behind me.
Thankfully, you were able to.
I did need at least some of it for a few years to just back me up until things really kind of got going.
Brilliant. So you was lucky you were able to get that, take that chance, like, you know.
No, it was it worked out perfectly, and I think it worked out perfectly for Aviva, it was that I worked for.
Yeah,
it worked out well for them. They were happy enough to get rid of you. Seeing as I spent most of my day on my phone just doing DMEs on my desk anyway, I'm pretty sure they weren't so stupid that they didn't know that, you know. Yeah, so probably worked out for everyone. But yeah, like I said, it was, I don't know. I mean, I probably would have done it anyway, because probably the situation in the day job was going to come to a head eventually. But getting that safety net of a redundancy from a job did make it easier and less of a major risk, you know.
Deadly. That was like me. I was offered redundancy in my job there only a few months ago.
Yeah.
And it was actually a good way. I'm in my job at the airport like 18 years. But I'm trying to save for, just going a bit off topic here in a minute. I'm trying to save for a house, like, you know. And sure, I've no job to back up. So as much as I had a good offer, but I couldn't move. So I'm kind of stuck where I am now, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But that's why I'm delighted I'm doing these bloody podcasts. I'd be going mental otherwise, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, you've put on some fantastic shows. There's one show I wanted to discuss with me, because I think I wanted to do a little piece with you on it ages ago. Remember the gig in St. John's Castle? Give us a little bit of history on that one, because that was a groundbreaking show, really. It really was.
Yeah, well, it just came about. And I mean, obviously, first of all, an awful lot of the work on that was done by the Limerick end in terms of the logistics and stuff. Neil at Dolan's, especially, because he had experience in doing shows in the castle before. So it came about simply because, well, obviously, both bands are bands I've worked with for years.
Yeah.
And they were doing that summer, you know, they were doing the festivals.
Absolutely.
And so they have the same agent. And Yeah, he just asked me, he mailed me one day and he was like, look, I think, yeah, he said the two of them are doing download, whatever weekend that was. And we're trying to fill in gap between download and I think it was Hellfest. He was like, is there anything? Initially, he was just like, is there anything we can do in Dublin, you know? And I was like, well, not there's nothing really special we can do. Could look at maybe do an Olympia show.
Yeah.
But it's still just a venue.
We're
looking to try and do something cool, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think I just asked John from Bad Rep. I was looking at Belfast then as well. I was thinking maybe we do a big show up there in Telegraph Building or something.
Yeah.
The agent wasn't overly keen on that. And I think I just asked John. I think I actually just asked John, is there any venues down there of, you know, around 2,000 cap or whatever, not thinking about anything outdoor or whatever.
Yeah.
And the idea of the castle came up, and I mean, it's an old Viking castle, so I mean,
perfect.
Vikings, it's like, come on, the no-brainer, you know.
Say they were in their element, were they?
Yeah, so that was how it just came up like any normal show. I mean, yeah. In terms of the agent just contacted me and asked me, is there anything you can do on this date, you know, with the two bands together? And it just, yeah, it was really just went from there in a normal process. Obviously, it was a bit different in terms of that. I'm very much used to doing absolutely everything myself.
Yeah.
And I handed over an awful lot of stuff to, it was kind of via John and I think, you know, Neil and the Dolans, the family or whatever, they do a lot of stuff every summer, well, during normal summers, at least down in that castle. But it was awesome. I mean, it was a killer event.
I was raging. I was working that whole weekend. I couldn't go.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it was a Monday wasn't ideal, but that's always going to be the way if you're doing shows for bands between festivals, you know.
Yeah. Still, it was awesome to see it there. Photos and all looked fantastic.
And killer, and they could both use full pyro productions. Which, you know, you can't really do other than the arena.
And would you see?
Yeah, other than that, I mean, it was just like it came together like a normal show in terms of how it came about. But obviously, it was a special event.
Would that have been one of your favorite shows to put on, maybe?
No, probably not, to be honest. I mean, it was killer.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have some others that mean a lot more to me on a personal level.
Cool. Give us a few of them there.
Well, Overkill. Okay. Getting here finally.
Deadly.
I mean, they're just fucking love Overkill.
I said that feels great when you get one of your favorite bands over. Like, yeah.
That's not to say anything against the Castle Show. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a few that have a real special place in my heart. Overkill, Moonspell. Testament was awesome to finally get. I mean, the first time with them on a march was cool, but it was killer to get them for their own headline show because they'd never done a headline show here.
Right. It was Vicar Street, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a great show. Oh, man.
And then did the thing with Exodus and Death Angel then in the National Stadium last year. There's loads. I mean, difficult to pick, but Overkill is generally the one that comes to mind. It's not necessarily that they're even like my favorite band ever, although they're well up there. I just have a real special place in my heart for Overkill. I can still remember like the first time I heard them when I was like, I think 14. You know, every week I'd beg to be allowed to stay up late on Sunday night for Headbangers Ball. And I remember seeing the video for Elimination.
The first song I heard as well, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, fuck, they rule, you know. And I bought The Years of Decay on cassette in, I think it was Golden Discs in the ILAC Center. With my pocket money or whatever soon after. And to have gone from that to finally get, because they'd never played Ireland, you know.
That's mad, isn't it?
And also, I mean, what helps is that Bobby is just the coolest guy on earth.
He seems that way, all right.
He's exactly as he seems. He's just so nice. And well, I think I've done two shows since that first one. And, you know, to sometimes, you know, you take a lot of stuff for granted after so many years in terms of, you know, like last year, for example, at that Testament thing.
Yeah.
In the production office at the stadium show. And Chuck does a lot of Testament's management stuff himself. So he was up in the production office himself, like at the desk beside me doing stuff. And we're just chatting and stuff. And it never even twigged. And then suddenly you're thinking, that's fucking Chuck from Testament, who you know, you posters of on your wall when you were a kid. And suddenly, you know, you take a step back for a second. And it's like, shit, it's cool, you know?
It's the real deal, yeah.
And so that's what it was like with Overkill. And then, like, for the times after I've had them over since the first time, Bobby gets off the bus and he's like, "Fergo, how are you, man?" And hugging me hello and stuff. It's like, Jesus, you know. I always think back to that 14-year-old kid watching Headbangers Ball. And it's pretty cool, you know.
So even though you're a businessman, you're still a fucking big fan. And I'd say, I love hearing that you still get the feels, like, you know.
Listen, I still, first and foremost, if I get, you know, I mean, there's some killer offers that come in that are killer because, oh, that would be a really good seller and it'll make decent money. And maybe it's a band I don't love. And of course, they're great to get because, yeah, it's a business. But there's some come in where it's a band I love. And the first buzz I get is not thinking about how that'll, you know, will or won't make money. It's just that's a band I love, you know.
Yeah. You're going to be putting them on, like.
Yeah, I love the music just as much as I did back when I was watching Headbangers Ball, you know.
Exactly. Did you ever watch Noisy Mothers? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was the band's Crusher, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah. God. And then what was the one after Headbangers Ball? You want what was her name?
Oh, Juliet. Yeah, I remember her, all right. I don't remember the show. She was a sassy woman.
She was, yes. But I guess to answer your question, probably Overkill would be the most special one for me.
Yeah.
Just because of what it meant. But Moonspell was well up there as well, because I absolutely love them since I was a kid too. And again, they've never played here. Amorphis was another. There's probably loads.
I'd say you could probably do a whole episode of
this. Tons of bands, and there's some bands that are just an enormous pleasure to have, no matter how many times, such as Cannibal.
Oh.
Because, I mean, you know, they're just the perfect band. They sell out, and they're just the nicest guys.
Deadly. What do you think of the new track? Did you hear the new track?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's
deadly.
You know, it's knocking out.
They're not reinventing the wheel.
No, but that's not, you don't want them to, you know, they're just killer at what they do. So, listen, there's probably loads I could list, but Overkill is the one that always comes to mind if someone asks me, like, what's the most special kind of
show. I love when I went to see Opeth in Catatonia in the Shelter.
Oh, yeah, good.
That was, and I went to, like, because I think we're in Catatonia headline, I think.
No.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'm getting a mix up because I think a lot of people were there to see Catatonia initially, I think.
November were on that as well.
November, yeah. I forgot about them. Mm. That was I loved that gig, you know, I have to say.
Yeah.
And when I saw Cathedral first, is in the same place, actually, the Shelter.
Yeah. That was supposed to be within Entombed, wasn't it?
That was a nice little venue.
It was all right, but the stage was very low. It was only a step, so it was very difficult to see if you weren't at the front.
Yeah, I suppose. Unless if you're Pete Reece, you can see everything.
No, it was all right. But actually, I always remember that day of that Opeth show. At the time, they were doing renovations on the main venue.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Michael from Opeth, I remember showing him, and he was looking in at the main venue. And I suppose kind of saying, oh, God, it'd be amazing to, you know, someday imagine playing there kind of thing.
Yeah.
Jesus, they ended up being huge. So.
Big time.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to controvert it, but did they go through MCD now, did they?
Yeah, well, they did last time. Yeah.
That was a bit bad, aren't we?
Well, I mean, it's, yeah.
They're bigger now and all this kind of stuff.
Like, it's nothing to do with that.
No,
it's nothing to do with that. I mean, because Vickers Street, I could do them in the Olympia just the same.
Of course, yeah.
I know why it was. And look.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes these things happen in the business.
It's business, as they say.
I wasn't very pleased with how it was done.
Yeah.
But look, there's been certain times where it's worked the reverse way over the years too. So look, it happens, you know.
Cool. You take the this way and that way, isn't it? Really? Yeah.
Certainly wouldn't take it personally.
No.
Bands themselves most of the time don't even know who the promoter is.
Of course, yeah.
Some, not all, but some.
Yeah. They're kind of, you know, we're playing this place.
It's certainly nothing to do with them, but you know, a lot of time it can just work out where if a band's agent works with a promoter for a number of a smaller bands and maybe they've lost some money on those shows.
Yeah.
Maybe he has to give them their bigger one, even though they haven't done the bigger one before.
I get you. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. It was it wasn't a nice surprise when I saw it announced.
Oh, I can imagine.
But
you still survived anyway. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who is there any bands that you haven't had yet that you'd love to get? Are you still on your list kind of thing?
You know, there's very few at this stage. I was thinking about that earlier because I was thinking about we were having this chat and I figured you'd ask favorite and possibly that question.
Of course.
I mean, honestly, nobody comes to mind. Like, I'm sure if I scour my record collection, there probably is a few, but you know, when I go through, like I've been lucky enough to, you know, Carcass came back, got to do them a few times. Got as close to doing Death as you can get now, but
yeah,
joke gone. Did do Morbid with David Vincent on the Covenant tour.
Wow.
Testament was, if you'd asked me a few years ago, it would have been easier to answer because I would have rattled off Testament over Don Amorphis.
Yeah.
Oh, one comes to mind is Dark Tranquillity.
Oh yeah, they haven't been over here, have they?
They've never, no, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, you know, the problem is with bands like that, that they just don't do the numbers in a country like this, or even in the UK, they would in Europe, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, that was the reason with Moonspell for years.
Right.
I mean, in all honesty, the chances are that was probably a one-time visit because financially it just doesn't add up for these bands to... That's why you see them just do London most of the time and then straight back into mainland Europe. But Dark Tranquillity is a major favourite band of mine.
All right. I saw them once in England, actually. I went over with a few friends.
Yeah.
Who was playing with them? Madder Morton, I think, was playing with them.
Okay, yeah.
Great show.
Love them. Their new album's amazing.
I haven't heard. I got to check it out, great, actually. Great.
But, so I guess they'd be one. I'm sure there are a few.
Yeah. But like you say, I think you've covered almost everybody.
I've been pretty lucky to have covered, I'd say, 99% of...
And you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved when we played with Entombed. That was a big thing for us. That was...
in the village.
Yeah, that was... Just the fact that we were playing with them because like they were one of our main earlier influences. And just seeing LG at the back of the stage, looking at our set was, that was class.
Yeah, it's sad to see.
Yeah.
Really unwell now.
Hopefully he pulls through.
Hopefully, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
He is, bang on. I have to say, most of the bands that we played with for you have been, been sound.
Most of the bands generally are.
Mm.
You know, it's like everything. Some are friendlier than others, but I mean, that's the same with
people in general. Yeah,
personally, yeah, everybody's different, and if somebody's quiet, it doesn't mean they're an ass. It just means maybe they're just quiet. You know,
I think if you treat people with respect initially, and then if they want to kind of reciprocate the friendship, then they will. Like, you know, that's generally how I would, you know, deal with people anyway.
Yeah.
I think it works in that sense, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, is there any music coming out that you're interested in hearing at the minute? Have you heard of anything coming out that's tickling your fancy? Yeah?
That I've, well, I mean, a few albums that I've just gotten, or, well, stuff I have ordered at the moment, pre-orders in for the new Evergrey. What was the other one? Oh, well, the new Moonspell.
Yeah.
It's coming soon.
Lovely.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know, there's been, God, it's hard to think off the bat, but I mean, recent releases, the new Napalm Death is killer.
Yeah, it's amazing they're still going.
Just, yeah, just, they still just come up with great stuff. What's coming, the new Accept, really liking that. Some different stuff. New Inquisition, which obviously they're a bit of a dodgy subject,
yeah.
But musically,
yeah, just forget about all that. Just listen to the musically.
Yeah, look, you know, if you looked at every band like that, you probably wouldn't listen to many black metal bands.
Exactly.
I don't know. There's probably more. If I looked at my iTunes, I could probably tell you. I mean, I buy vinyl, but obviously I have them all on this. You know what's really good? That new Todd LaTorre album, the, you know, Queensryche vocals.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying his new solo album.
Oh, you gotta check that out.
What else? Yeah, the Dark Tranquility is amazing.
And you know, I haven't listened to them in years. Have they changed much over the years?
Dark Tranquility? Not massively.
Okay, so it's
still pretty good sound, you know. The newest Armored Saint is great.
I always thought John Bush was my favorite Anthrax singer. Yeah.
Well, Sound of White Noise is,
oh, I love it.
Possibly my favorite Anthrax album.
Yeah.
New Napalm, New Cataclysm.
So you have stuff to look forward to.
Yeah. I'm always checking out new stuff, yeah. Like I said, man, I'm still as into the music as I ever was.
Well, here's a question though. What non-metal stuff do you like?
Not a huge amount, to be honest. Not because it's like, oh, I'm not going to listen to anything that's not metal, but I just love metal, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very varied in my taste within metal.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like even just saying from that Inquisition to say the new AC/DC or whatever. But there's not that much non-metal I listen to. There's a couple of old, like Tori Amos has always been, but you know, the first few albums sound like a metal elitist.
Falling out of the Tori Amos gig.
Yeah, exactly. Only heard demos, you know. But yeah, I mean, there's really not a huge amount. Like, if my mood is for something more mellow, then I'll generally go and listen to, like, say, for example, lately I've been on a massive Savatage binge.
Cool.
Love Savatage.
Great band.
And I find enough mellower stuff within a band like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like I said, it's not about, listen to anything that's not metal, but I love metal. And
that's what you love.
I find enough variety within my metal taste that I don't really need to, I don't feel the urge to really go beyond that, you know?
Deadly.
Satisfies me.
I love Kate Bush. Do you like Kate Bush at all? Do you?
I never got into her, and everyone used to always say to me, because I really loved the first few Tori Amos albums. People used to always say, well, if you like her, you should listen to Kate Bush because Tori Amos rips Kate Bush off.
I wouldn't go that far.
I don't know if that's true, but some people used to say that to me.
That's probably to wind you up. I love her first album, The Kick Inside. If you ever get a chance to just spin through it, have a quick listen.
Yeah, I must check it out. It's one of those things I've just never gotten around to.
Now you've locked down, you have no excuse, right?
Exactly, so, I, like I said, I think I just... My tastes within rock and metal are extremely varied.
Yeah.
So I find everything I need within that, really.
And I think a lot of us are generally like that, but now and again, you'll get something that, that's non-metal, really. I love the Doors, for example, like, you know.
Right, yeah.
And but like that, it always comes back to metal for me.
I like, you know, say Radiohead, for example. Well, I don't know what they've done in years, but
yeah.
Okay Computer and The Bend and stuff, I have those. Maybe there's one or two bands like that, but yeah, very little, to be honest.
Probably years since you've listened to those though.
It's actually not that long, because I got them on vinyl just before Christmas, when we were out of that lockdown for a few weeks.
Yeah.
I went to the town to meet a buddy of mine for lunch in Yamamori, and we went into one of the record shops in Georgia Street Arcade before going over. And of course, a few impulse vinyl bites, two of which were those.
You had to treat yourself.
So naturally, I listened to them then when I brought them home on vinyl. But
they're good albums, though, those two. They are good albums.
Yeah, OK Computer hit me more than The Bends, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know, felt like it had aged more.
Yeah, I think there's enough going on in OK Computer to keep you kind of invested, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How's Arnie dealing with lockdown?
No, he's loving it. I mean, come on. Dogs are the big winners.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
They don't have to do anything now.
Exactly. And they have their masters or mistresses home way more.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not that massive a change for a dog like him, because other than show days, I just work from home generally.
Yeah.
So it's not that huge a thing, but I can imagine for a lot of dogs where their owners are out at work full time, it must be crazy. They'll have to get them therapy when they're going back to work.
When I had my dog, she's gone about 2 years now, but like that, she was a boxer. She was a big boxer, you know. Yeah. But like that, she was a house dog. size of her, she was a bloody house dog, you know. But I wouldn't have had it any other way. But like that, anytime we'd go out, she was like she wasn't going mad or but like it was like that separation issues, you know.
I know, it's insane. I was out just for a few hours today. Just doing a few things, and like you can noticeably see it in him when I come back. Like he's just on at me and badgering me until I pick him up and give him some affection. Like, well, you wouldn't have them any other way. I mean,
no, absolutely.
If I have a pet, I want him to be like that, you know.
That's why I always prefer them over cats. I can't stand cats.
Yeah, I actually love cats as well. I used to have three cats.
Right. Okay.
That's a good few years ago now with an ex of mine. But I still love cats.
Yeah.
But no, they're extremely different, though. Yeah.
Yeah, very different.
A dog suits me far better these days, anyway. And I just find dogs are a bit more controllable as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're not as single-minded, like, you know.
Yeah. Plus, I don't quite like how cats can climb loads of places you don't want them to go.
Yeah. Very true.
Annoys me a little bit. Where, you know, dogs you can cordon off if you want to, and they can hop over or whatever. Plus the other thing is, like, just, you know, dogs, you can leave them with people. I find that a much handier thing.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
it
you
is.
Can't move cats, they freak out, where I always find it handy with him. I can just leave him with someone if I need to for a day or two. So that's always, I find that an easier thing with dogs. Yeah. He's the worst dog I've ever had. Other than like family pets when I was younger, living with my parents. So yeah, it's good.
What about your snakes? Because you have snakes. I love snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been able to have one, like, you know.
That's been a COVID project.
Project.
A better description. I've been mad into watching some guys on YouTube, you know, the venomous snake guys.
Yeah, yeah.
The last probably 2 or 3 years. Now, I'd never go down the venomous snake route. Obviously, it's insane, but not that insane. You've got to be insane to work in the music business. But
yeah.
That extent. So, but yeah, I just felt like I was watching so much of them, and I still do. I was like, fuck this, I want to get a snake. So got one. I got the first one back last year, probably not long after the first lockdown. And I got another one a few weeks ago there.
Beautiful, from what I've seen of them.
Yeah, they're killer. Yeah, yeah. I'm still sorting some stuff out for the new one.
Yeah. What kind of personality have they got? They got like little personalities of.
Well, the first one I got is a corn snake.
Right.
He's cool. He's very lively. So when you hold him, he's really like quick moving and
yeah. Active.
So you're constantly messing with him. You know, the royal python or ball python, they're very docile and slow moving, but he's way bigger.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen him on my.
Yeah. He's gorgeous.
Yeah, he's way, way bigger. So he's, that's why I love the corn snake, and he is growing now. But I wanted just something a bit more. I wanted a more impressive snake.
Yeah. A bit more girth.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah.
I wanted it thicker and longer. Yeah. So yeah, he's killer. Yeah. I'm still waiting on a new enclosure for him to arrive because that one was a bit crappy. But yeah, it's cool. I like them. I mean, they're not much. It's a bit of hassle at the moment just because I'm still having some teething problems. But once you have them set up properly, there's very little maintenance or ongoing costs or anything with them.
Yeah. Really, so. And is it, do you just give them the baby moises or do you give them?
Dutch, who's the corn snake, he's on small little baby mice at the moment. But the other guy, he's pretty big, so he's already eaten like. Medium to large rats.
Right. Wow.
Pretty full on, yeah.
I'd say that's something to watch if you ever watch the meme.
He hasn't eaten from me yet since I got him.
Right, okay.
He will be. I only tried once and he rejected it. I think it's they're notorious for not eating for a few weeks sometimes when they feel like it. And I think because there's been quite a bit of messing with his enclosure.
Right. You see how it starts, probably.
Yeah.
And will you'll know when he wants to eat then, will you? Will you get it?
Well, I'm hoping the new enclosure will arrive at the end of this week. So yeah. Once I get that all set up and get all his humidity levels and stuff correct, I'll leave him be and won't take him out or anything for like about a week. Just give him complete peace. And then I'd say he'll eat.
Deadly. Yeah. That's when the fun happens. I
mean, they can go months without eating, you know.
Yeah.
It's not really a worry.
I'd love that. I'd love to be able to like that.
Yeah, they just you can do the enclosures up so that they look really like nice in, you know, your sitting room or whatever.
Yeah.
They're nice decorative kind of thing.
Absolutely. I was gonna get when it was years ago now, I was gonna get a load of piranhas.
Oh yeah.
I love piranhas and I was gonna get a friend of mine had one, then he had two, and you have to get them in a group of five or six for sociability. Oh, really? Yeah. Because otherwise they will start fighting and eating each other. Whereas if there's enough of them, there's enough going on that they don't fight. But unfortunately I couldn't get them at the time.
It's a few years ago now, but I used to have a pretty big fish tank. But I tell you, man, the maintenance on those things is a nightmare. It was something I'd always wanted to have. And I still love them.
Yeah.
But I had to just get rid of it because trying to keep the water levels correct and stuff, you know, the pH levels,
fish
just kept getting different, this white spot disease
thing. Oh, no.
When the water is not dying and blah, blah, blah. It was just a nightmare. Like.
And you can spend some amount of money on those fish, can't you?
Yeah.
Like to buy them, like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I loved it. It looked so cool.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you have the light on and it's nighttime and stuff. But yeah, the maintenance was just an absolute nightmare.
Yeah. Actually, you have your snakes now, and I think that'll do you. Would you get any more? Do you think you'd be getting any more? Or anyway, when you got in the second one, but
the thing I'm discovering is that snakes is a bit of an addictive thing.
Like tattoos?
Yeah.
Yep.
because who was it? Mark Brophy. Yeah, you probably know Mark. No, he used to be in Warpath and stuff.
Yeah.
He has a good few. I think he has like 9 or 10 snakes.
Oh, wow.
And he said to me, he was like, welcome. You know, welcome to the kind of addiction, you know? And I was like, you know, I just wanted one, just a fun thing to have one snake. But I'm discovering that it doesn't quite work that way.
One is never enough.
apparently not. So it's
Right. Well, I'm gonna kind of wrap it up now, if that's cool with yourself.
Yeah.
Before you go, I normally ask people top five bands. I'm not gonna do that. Our five albums. What was I going to ask you there? Your top five Arnie films.
My top five Arnie films.
And they don't have to be in order, right? So that makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah. Well, Predator.
Yes, obviously.
Commando.
Yes.
The Running Man. Terminator. I think probably Terminator 2.
Really?
Uh-huh. I know a lot of people would say the first one. Yeah. But I mean, I love the first one as well. I could pick the first two, but I'll just pick one, Terminator.
Right, okay.
And maybe Total Recall.
Yeah. I was never a huge fan of that. Now, I love Arnie. I absolutely adore him.
Yeah.
But that was one I could never get really into, you know? I loved that. Yeah, Running Man was, I think Running Man was the first Arnie film I saw.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that film. Still love that film.
Well, you know, the latest snake I got is called Ben Richards.
I saw that, yeah.
See, Arnie's the dog. So then there's Ben Richards, and then the other snake is Dutch.
Brilliant. And then if you get another snake, just call him John, because nearly all his other things are John.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or Matrix or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's one person, I have to be honest now. I'd love to meet Arnie.
Arnie, yeah.
I'd love to meet him because he does seem actually like he's bang on, you know?
Yeah.
Look, I've met a lot, you know.
He's just dominated everything because I'm really into bodybuilding as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I do a lot of training myself, but I'm also into, like, you know, watching like the Mr. Olympia and all that.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah.
So, like, Arnie just covers kind of everything for me in the sense that he was, you know, one of the original major bodybuilder guys. He dominated that, and then he went on to making all these killer movies that we all love and stuff. So he's just like a hero, isn't he?
Absolutely, I love him. And you know, I would say to people, yeah, he's one of my favorite actors, and they're like, he's not a fucking actor, and I goes, he is. As in, you know, like thinking people, like, oh, Robert De Niro, and I like all them.
Yeah,
like that. All my good memories of films are from Arnie.
Exactly, man.
You know, and Predator is probably my favorite film.
I think Predator and Running Man would be my two favorites of Arnie. Yeah, the two.
That'd be one and two, definitely. And then three for me would be Terminator, the fourth one.
Yeah.
That would be my top three in that order, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can never have enough of them. And there's loads of time now for us to watch loads of Arnie films anyway.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, well, you're still working normally, are you?
Well, normally as can be.
The airport's a lot quieter.
Yeah, yeah. I'm down to 80% hours, which means I have a lot more time off. But I'm still, I've been in and out all through the lockdown and through COVID. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm just, you know, it's weird, like, cause I'm still busy at times.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's mentally difficult though, because you're busy at times and working on stuff with no idea if it'll happen, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough. But
well, all we can do is keep the faith with you for the future.
Ah, listen, yeah. I'm not gonna go away.
No, you won't.
We'll be a DME when shows return. That's for
absolutely. And I'm sure we'll all come out and support more than we've ever done.
You know, a lot of people did that online store thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people, thanks to everybody that did.
Some cool posters there.
Yeah, it was actually a cool trip through memory lane.
Yeah.
Doing the sorting out all the posters for the site.
Very cool. Funny,
you know, and I mean, there's older ones too that I don't have because I lost a load of stuff back in like 2007.
Oh, no way.
The laptop crashed and I had no backups at the time.
Oh, no. And have you put the feelers out if anyone might have them? Or
I asked around, but no, I got a few sent to me, but really bad resolution. You wouldn't be able to sell, you know, things of them. They'd look like crap. Sorry, one of my snake enclosure lights just went down there, which is why it's gotten dark.
That's okay. I can still see it.
Yeah, but, you know, it's, I don't know, hopefully maybe towards the end of this year we'll see shows come back.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Like,
just need them to fucking accelerate the vaccine.
Will you get it? Will you get the vaccine?
I probably will, yeah. Look, I'll be honest with you, man, I'm not a conspiracy theorist or any of that stuff. I've got some friends who are, and I just can't. Look, everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you totally, man. Because again, I have a few friends like that, you know.
I don't want to start getting into that and
offend
people on here when they.
No.
But look, sometimes you have to just trust the experts.
Yeah.
And if I have to, I'm not like in a rush to run out and get the vaccine.
Yeah.
In the sense that I'd like to think if I haven't had it, I'd like to think if I got COVID, my chances are pretty okay. I, you know, relatively young, I keep fit, blah, blah, blah. But I just think you're going to have to get it if you want to go on holiday, travel.
Yep. It's going
to. Like if I want to do what I do, I mean, I think bands and stuff are going to want all the staff and everything at shows to be
tested and whatever.
To be vaccinated at least.
Yeah. Well, I think it's looking like that's going to be the future, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think as much as some people might protest, they're probably going to end up having to get it, you know. But look, I'm no expert, so I don't
know.
Pontificating on that. That's just, I don't have any big objection to taking it.
Yeah.
I just feel like, even if there is a slight risk for taking it at this stage, I'm willing to take that risk because this isn't living, is it? I mean,
no, absolutely not.
Like, we've no, all our, not our basic freedoms, but our just everything you think about just going to do, you can't do. Like,
yeah.
So I personally, I'd rather take a slight risk because.
So would I. Yeah.
I mean, if I have some issue 20 years down the line because of it, well,
we deal with it somehow.
At least I got to live a normal life in those 20 years.
Yeah, I think that's the way people should think about it. You know, it's try and look positive, and if we can get some sort of semblance of normality back, then that's going to help everybody. You know?
Plus if we never have to hear the phrase "new normal" again.
Oh God, yes.
Jesus.
God, I know. Yeah, I've used that one myself, not thinking before, and it's just like yeah. I need to stop saying that shit.
Yeah, it's just unreal how long it's gone on now, though. I mean, it's. I don't think anybody. Well, how could any of us have known?
No.
Because when I think back, I mean, well, first of all, you have to be thankful for small mercies sometimes, because. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but the week before the lockdown hit, I had like, obviously the Big Testament show was on, but there was also like Aristocrats the night before.
Oh yeah.
Picture Books Up on Wheelands, and then the two Grand Magus shows in Dublin and Belfast all that week.
Wow.
So, I mean, as much as the whole situation sucked, it would have sucked 100% more for me had the lockdown hit a week earlier.
Absolutely. Yeah, you were able to get those shows in. And
yeah, to get those shows in before it hit was a world of difference compared to if I hadn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's just mad, like, because I remember sitting in the venue after the Magus show, and I was just having a chat with the lads from the band, because JB is, he's just such a lovely fella.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of knew, well, this is the last show for a while. Like, never could you, because I think we all thought we went into the first lockdown. It was like, oh, we'll do this lockdown for a few weeks and that'll sort it out. Like,
if everyone
stays home, it'll just, you know, how can it spread if everyone's locked down? It'll be gone.
didn't happen.
It's just nuts, because, like, I can remember, like, I always think back, Wardruna was supposed to be in June last year. And I remember, at some point, maybe in April, their booker, Simon, mailing me and kind of saying, look, I imagine we should be all right by then, but maybe we should look at some backup dates just in case.
Yeah.
And I remember mailing them back and saying, like, yeah, I'd say it should be grand by then, but yeah, no harm. This was talking about June last year.
Yeah, Jesus.
So to think that we're in mid-February now, that following year, and let's be honest, June this year is out of the question. I mean,
I think so, yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just mad how it's escalated, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, how could any of us have known? But
that's it.
It's just crazy to think back to that email and saying, look, I'm sure we'd be all right for June, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so look, I'll let you go because we've had a good old chat today, I have to say. Thanks very much.
Yeah, no problem. It's been a big week for me of showing my face. First of all on Facebook Live and now this.
There you go. And that's everyone's fill now for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, becoming such a public figure.
But you're going to have to go back into the shadows now after this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Listen, man, it's been amazing. Thank you very much for doing this for me, Ryan.
No problem.
And everyone, keep going to the shows when they're back.
Yes.
Absolutely. And is there still stuff available on the online store, actually, before we go?
Yeah, the poster prints and the steel pins are all still available. The shirts just aren't because I cut them off at the point of the deadline for the draw just because the shirts had to be, you know, ordered in bulk.
Of course, yeah.
But the rest of the stuff you can still order. So if you've, if you'd like to, feel free to go on support. Over. Or, I know, keep on buying tickets if you can, but I mean, I totally understand now is not really, people are not really, tickets are not a priority for people.
No. I don't think you'll have to worry about that when gigs are actually back then. I think you'll be good.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they'll fly out once people are actually sure that'll happen. I completely understand buying tickets now for shows that you've no idea if they'll happen, especially when a lot of people are low on. It's not a priority. Yeah, man, nothing lasts forever.
Exactly. We'll get there. So, listen, it's been fantastic. This is King Rose Court again. Fergal Holmes from Dublin. Sorry, DME Promotions.
Yeah. history lesson. Come on.
sorry. take care of yourself, man, and we will do this again at some point, I'm sure.
Cool. All right.
Okay, we're out of here. Thank you.